And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All this Christmas music makes me think I need to preach a Christmas message, but I want to get through 1 Corinthians. I was hoping to be through 1 Corinthians chapter 4 by the beginning of the new year, and I'm not going to make that. I know that surprises some of you, but I'm not going to make that because of the different passages, and we have the different things. Cantata will be next week, and we'll preach a message accordingly with the cantata, and we're looking forward to that. And Christmas Day, I'll preach a Christmas message. But I want to get through this because I think this is something that maybe you don't want to hear, but it's something you need to hear. Sometimes the scripture just comes up with something that you know, it goes against a little bit of the grain that we have, but it's what we need to hear. The Apostle Paul was really burdened for the Corinthian church. They were saved, and the majority of them were saved, and they were born again. And there was no doubt about that. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in the beginning, he praised them and told them that they were saved, and they were children of God. They were saints. And the different things he called them to reassure them that their salvation. But the problem was they weren't living for the Lord like they should. And in chapter 3, the beginning, he calls it carnality. It's where they were being influenced by the world. They were being influenced by what they grew up with and what was taking place around them. And they became carnal. And it created divisions amongst them. And some of the divisions were amongst that they took, like some said, I'm of Paul, and some I'm of Cephas, and some were of Apollos, and some were of Christ. They began to create divisions of who was the best pastor, who did the one they follow, and it created divisions because some loved Apollos, some loved Paul, and some loved Cephas or Peter that they came from, and they were constantly, and it created that carnality, created divisions. And the divisions continued on. And Paul said he was concerned about these divisions because it's going to keep you from growing as a Christian, but it's going to keep the church from becoming what it needs to become. And he gives a description for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we do 1 through 8 and 9, but then he comes to verse 10, and he said, according to the grace of God, and we started this a couple weeks ago, God has given to me to be the wise master builder. And I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And so Paul said, I am the wise master builder. He wasn't taking credit. He was the architect of the church. You see, God used the Israel in the Old Testament. And they had the guiding principles was the law that God gave them, and they were strictly to adhere to the law that God had given them. And the church really isn't mentioned to Israel because it's a mystery to them. And Paul said we were the mystery to the Old Testament. When Israel drew away from God and no longer accomplished the purpose that God had sent Israel to accomplish, he's placed them on a shelf for right now. He's not done with Israel. But he's placed him on the self, and he raised up that mystery, and that mystery is you and me. It's the church. But the church is so different because they're no longer under law, but it's under grace. How is the church supposed to function? How is it supposed to work? And I'm sure the people in Paul's day were a little confused. So God gave Paul the blueprints to the local church, to how the church should be formed and what it should do. He told us about baptism and what it means. He told us about the Lord's Supper and the different things that we do as a church and the desires and the pastoral realm and deacons and different things like this. Paul gave the blueprints. That's why he said, I'm the wise master builder, but it didn't come from me. This comes straight from God. And so Paul set the guidelines for the church. And he laid out the church and he said, as I've come to you, here's how I've done it. I've laid the foundation. I've preached nothing but Christ. And that's very true. And then he taught them the principles. He said, for 18 months I was there, I taught you the principles of how to live for the Christian life, how to live the Christian life. And that's the purpose of the church, to preach Christ, to promote Christ, whether to an unsaved world, through soul winning, through handing them a gospel tract, to reaching out to them watching your life and creating an appetite within themselves to know more about Christ. We're to preach Christ. But it's a responsibility of the church as well to preach the principles from God's word. And so Paul said, I am the wise master builder of this creation, this church that God has set forth to accomplish his plan and his purpose. And so I've laid the foundation for you. But he said that the key to this is, the key is you have to build on the right foundation. And again, in verse 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to become the foundation for your life. Jesus Christ has to be the foundation of the church. It must be built upon Christ. Peter's testimony to Christ, Christ asked him, who do you say I am? This is who men say I am. Who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter turned to him and said, upon that testimony, I'm going to build my church. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the foundation to everything we believe. But Jesus must be the foundation of your life. You must be born again. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. I would never do that. But I think there's a lot of people who've put their trust in their works and put their trust in family situations and put their trust in their church and their different things, and they've never been born again. They've never come to the point in their life where they had a right view of themselves and said, I'm a sinner. I deserve an eternity in hell. I'm wicked. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none of us that can get to heaven on our own, or our works, or our family, or our church. It's only through Jesus Christ. He needs to be the foundation of your life. And that's what Paul's saying. You have to have the right foundation. You have to have, but to have that right foundation, you have to have a right view of yourself, that you see yourself as a sinner, deserving of an eternity in hell. But you also have to have a right view of Christ, that Christ is a sovereign, almighty, all-powerful God, that he was the only one worthy to come and die and take away the sins of the world. And when you have a right view of yourself and you have a right view of Christ, then you can be born again. And know your sins are forgiven. Know you're on your way to heaven. And that's the foundation that must be laid in each one of our lives. And that's what Paul is telling the Corinthians here. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid is Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ is not the foundation of your life, all this preaching that I'm giving you is in vain. You'll never stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. That's only for born again believers. That's for Christians. And if Jesus Christ is not your foundation, no matter if you look like it, you act like it, you think it, if Jesus Christ is not your foundation, you will not stand before Jesus Christ one day at the judgment seat of Christ. But you will kneel before him at the great white throne judgment. But at the great white throne judgment, he'll simply say this. There's no second chances at the great white throne judgment. He'll simply say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. But many are going to say, I prophesied in your name. I did many mighty works in your name. Jesus is going to look at them and say, but I never knew you. The foundation in your life must be Jesus Christ. You must be born again. That has to be the foundation of the church. Everything we do in this church must be founded upon Jesus Christ and his word. That's why when I went through a rough spell in my life, went through a tough time in my life, and I wondered, and I had to make a choice. You know, you're Baptist. Well, I'm Baptist because I was born and raised in a Baptist church. My first Sunday in church was in a Baptist church. But I came to a point in my life where I had to make a decision. Am I going to remain a Baptist or am I going to go a different route? So I gathered all the information I could gather. And I made a determination in my life that I'm going to be Baptist. Not because Baptist is better than anybody else, but the Baptist said this, the Bible will become our only rule of faith and practice. Everything we do will be based upon this book, and that was good enough for me. So I'm very happy to be a Baptist. As far as I'm concerned, I'll be a Baptist the rest of my life. As long as I'm the pastor of this church, it'll be Faith Baptist Church. Because I want to have the right foundation. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. So Paul started out to the Corinthian believers. And he said, I've got some concerns because of your divisions. I've got some concerns because of your carnality. So number one, he said, I'm the wise master builder. I didn't ask for that position. I didn't want that position, but God called me on the Damascus Road, and God, through his mercy and grace, has given me the blueprint to the local church and how it was to be established. And so I'm the wise master builder because it comes from God. And I've laid the foundation. I preach Christ unto you. I've taught you the principles of God's word. But know this, you have to have the right foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But not only do you have to have the right foundation, and we looked at all that a couple weeks ago. But not only do you have to have the right foundation, you have to have the right building materials for your life. That's what he says. In verse 12, it says, but now if any man build upon this foundation, the foundation is Jesus Christ. And so if you're a born again believer, you're going to be building the church. See, that's what I never understood as a young man. I figured this was all individuality, and it is. You will alone appear before Jesus Christ at the judgment, or the judgment seat of Christ. But I don't believe it's going to be put up on a screen and everybody's going to watch. I think that judgment is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is individual rewards, but the rewards I get are there to build the church. And so what I do are individual rewards, but if you've wondered, what's going to happen to all that gold, silver, precious stone that's refined by Christ and stands and lasts through the test that Christ puts it through? It's to build the church. And so there, he's talking about individuality as well as the church. That's why Paul said, I am the wise master builder. I've laid the foundation. It's come to me from the Lord, but the foundation is the church. And as you build and work for rewards in your life, it builds the church, that because you are the church. That's why as I live for Christ and fulfill what Christ wants for me, I'm helping to build the church. And that's what happens. It's not a set program or a set thing that we do that brings people into the church. It's God using people like you and me to build his church. And so he said, you got to have the right foundation, but then you've got to have the right building materials. And so he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, it'll be gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. All these six things and mentioned, these six building materials mentioned in verse 12, are all our good works. There are works that we've done for Christ. You see, the building materials are in verse 12 are in two categories, and they each are listed in descending order of value. The first category is gold, silver, and precious stone. They clearly represent high quality materials. The second is wood, hay, and stubble, and just as clearly represent inferior materials. And I think you understand that. But these materials represent on how well we serve what the Lord has given us to do. In other words, they represent our works. These are the works that we've done for Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you something, if you're born again, and you know Christ is your Savior, you along the line may not be even living for Christ now. You know people who aren't living for Christ, but at a time in their life or some point in time, they've done some good works for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some good works that you've done. Now, it may be gold, silver, precious stone, and we'll talk about it, or it may be wood, hay, and stubble. But it's still something you've done for Christ. So if there's a person out there that says, I'm a born-again Christian, and there is no building materials upon his foundation, he's not born again. Because there, every born again believer has done something that's good for Christ. You see, every Christian has been created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's why you were created. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's something you've done for Christ. There's some works you have. It could be gold, silver, precious stone. It may be hay, wood, and stubble. But there's some works you've done to put some building upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now, works are not the source. They're not the source of the Christian life. But they are the marks of it. Again, they are what we do to represent Jesus Christ. I like what James said. He said, you know, you show me your works that you're saved, and I'll show you my faith by my works. That's what it's all about. Every Christian is a builder, and every Christian builds with some sort of materials. And it's only the Lord that can determine which works are high quality, gold, silver, precious stone, and which are low quality, hay, wood, and stubble. It's not your role or my role or the believer's role to grade Christians and the work they do. So the things I'm going to give you today, it's not for you to judge. It's only for Jesus Christ to judge. But the point Paul is making is that our purpose should be always to serve the Lord with the best we have. The gold, silver, and precious stone represent durable items what will last the test of time. The hay, wood, and stubble are not sinful things. These are not bad works. They're not things that are sinful, because each can be useful in building something. Even hay or grass may be used to make a roof in some cases in some parts of the world. But when tested by fire, all three of these second group materials, hay, wood, and stubble, will all burn up. So number one, you have to have the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's telling the Corinthian church. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to know for certain that you're on your way to heaven. But if you are born again, then you're going to produce works upon that foundation, because the foundation is Jesus Christ. And the building materials that you're going to have are going to be gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. Those are all good works. Don't let anybody deceive you in saying that the hay, wood, and stubble are your sinful works. If they were your sinful works, they would be built upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. They cannot be. So the gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble are all your good works. So we must build with the right foundation. We must build with the right materials. That's the works that we do for Christ. But here's where I want to get, and I won't get past this point. But we must build according to the right plan. The right foundation, the right building materials, but we've got to have the right plan. You see, the world depends upon promotion and prestige and the influence of money and important people. But the church depends upon prayer and the power of the Spirit of God, humility, sacrifice, and service. The church that imitates the world may succeed for a time, but it will one day turn into ashes in eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. The church in the book of Acts had no secrets of success that seems to be important to us today. The church had no property. They had no influence in government. They had no treasury, for Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Their leaders in the church movement were ordinary men without special education in any accepted schools. They were basically fishermen. They had no attendance contests. They brought in no celebrities. And yet the Bible tells us that they turned the world upside down. You see, the key is you got to have the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ. But number two, you have to have the right building materials. It's good works. Show me my faith by my works. But number three, you have to have the right plan. You have to have the right plan. And so I'm going to give you three things, just three things that you need in the right plan. And again, I'm going to be dreadfully honest with you today. You may disagree with what I'm saying, and you may not even like what I'm saying. But I think it's biblical, and I think it's the plan that Paul wanted to get across to these Corinthian believers. Number one, he said, you've got to build. When you build your works, you've got to build with the right motives. You've got to have the right motives. Why we do something for Christ is as important as what we are doing. Now, let me stop for a minute. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. But what we think is, boy, I've got a lot of good works that are going to Christ, and when I stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, my I'm going to be loaded with works. Well, let's talk about good works. Because I think people get confused in this. Well, Pastor, I go to church. But you know what? I don't think that's a work that you're rewarded for in heaven. You know why? God's commanded us to forsake not the assembling together of the local church. Things that are commanded you to do, you don't get rewards for. I think in this life, you get blessings for it. I think God sees you, your faithfulness in church. I don't think that's a reward you're going to get in heaven, but I think that's a reward you're going to get on this earth because he's going to bless your life for it. Because you're being faithful to his plan and to accomplish his purpose. I think you're not going to get special rewards because you read the Bible. And some of you do read the Bible every day, and I appreciate that. Some of you read the Bible through every year. And some of you read the Bible through more than once in a year. But those are things that God told us in scriptures, meditate therein day and night. Those are commands that come down from God. So I think he's going to bless your life. You're going to be fulfilled in your life. You're going to have a greater peace, a greater joy, a greater love. You're going to see the blessing of God upon your ministry, upon your home, upon your life. But those aren't judgment seat of Christ things because those were commanded you by Scripture. I personally don't think you get a reward in heaven for handing out a gospel tract or telling somebody about Christ because that was commanded in Scripture, that we're to be a light that shines in darkness. God told us that's our responsibility. We've just done that which we're supposed to do, as the servant said. He said, do you get upset that the master doesn't thank you for it? He said, no, I've just done that which is my duty to do. So I don't think this, I think people get it wrong in Christianity today because they go to church, because they read their Bible every once in a while, because they may pray and that, man, my rewards are building up in heaven. No. I think the blessings are building up on this earth if you do it with the right motive. So let me let you know that. These are the works you do that are not commanded straight out in Scripture. Now, you're commanded to be in church. I really believe that. I think every Christian, born-again believer, ought to be in a local church. So I don't think you get reward for that. But when you go to that local church and you do something that's out of your character or nature, you go greet a visitor and let them know how welcome they are here and what a joy it is, or you sit next to somebody, or you say, come and sit next to me. Those are the works he's talking about. That's something you don't have to do when you come to church. But it makes a difference. Those are the things. So going to church isn't going to get you any reward in heaven, but what you do while you're here is what gets you reward in heaven. Boy, some people come, they come in, and I appreciate them coming. But as soon as the amen's gone, they're out the door and gone. They don't speak to a soul and don't want to speak to a soul. Now, I don't think they get any rewards. That they'll stand before Jesus Christ one day because I don't think you get a reward for being in church. And if you're not going to let God use you to make a difference in somebody's life or use to impact somebody, that there's where the rewards come. I hope you're following me. But those rewards come when they're done with the right motive. Now, the rewards are going to come. Remember gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble? The gold, silver, and precious stone rewards are going to be those works, those things I've done for Christ that are done with the right motives. I do it for the right reasons. I don't do it to be seen of men. I don't do it so people pat me on the shoulder. That's why I caution you this. And I know I'm guilty of this, but sometimes somebody does something and I'll thank them from the pulpit, but other people do so many things and I don't say a word, and people get upset over that. Be careful. Because what was your motive for doing it? Was it to get recognized by the pastor? Was it to get recognized by the people so everybody knows what I've done? Now, that's a good work. That's a wonderful work. Thank you for working for Christ, but I think it moves to the lower end of hay, wood, and stubble. And I'll show you why that's a problem in just a moment. Your motives make a difference. Now, they're still good works, but I think your motives determine if it's gold, silver, precious stone, or hay, wood, and stubble. You know, you come up here, somebody comes up here to sing, and they get done singing, and I was awful. I was terrible. Nobody complimented it. Nobody told me it was wonderful. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're probably saying, guess what? With the wrong motive. You didn't do it to look good. You didn't do it so people would praise you. You did it to glorify your Savior, which is in heaven. That's why you don't have to have a great voice and a trained voice to sing in special music at this church. We just want to see your heart. And if you get up here and you make a mistake, that's okay. Because you're not singing so everybody will praise you. You're singing so they'll praise your Savior in heaven. That's the proper motive. Oh, Pastor, I'm not even being humble. I just simply can't sing. I couldn't carry a tune in a basket. I can't sing. So I'm not being humble when I say, I'm not going to sing a solo for you. I'm not being prideful. But I know there's some of you that have an ability to sing. And I'm not laying a guilt trip on any of you, but you have an ability. But you're so worried about what people are going to think of you. The question is, has God given you that ability, and has God laid upon your heart to do it? Then if it is, do it for His glory. That's when it becomes gold, silver, and precious stone. But you come up and sing in the choir, you come up and sing in the cantata, you come up and do this and do that, and you do that in front of people, it's still a wonderful work, but you know what? It went from gold, silver, precious stone to guess what? Hay, wood, and stubble. You know, in your giving. And you're giving. I mean, the Bible says when you give, just the right hand shouldn't know what the left hand's doing. Now, that doesn't mean your right hand and your left hand. But it means you should give in secret. You know, it's not to, look at me. I have to say this. I have to do it because the deacons brought it out to me. But we had a guy that used to do that. He used to wave up his envelope, and so everybody could see him, and he put it in, and inside the envelope was $5. I said, not only did he lose his reward, there wasn't much reward there at all to get, because I knew how wealthy he was. Now, I'm not criticizing for that, but you know, you got to give for the right reason. Listen, it doesn't matter. If God lays it on my heart to give, I'm just going to give whatever God wants me to give. And I'm going to do it. And I don't care if anybody knows. I don't care if the pastor knows. And the pastor doesn't know because I don't do that. The only ones who know will be the ones who enter them into our program so they can send you something at the end of the year at your giving. They're the only ones who know. And we don't talk about it because it's not important. But why you give does determine if it's gold, silver, precious stone, or I believe, hay, wood, and stubble. If you give to be seen of men, or you give because you want God's blessing on your life. Now, I tell you this all the time. God will bless you when you give. But if you want it to be gold, silver, precious stone, it needs to be given with a right heart, attitude, a motive. What's your motive in giving? Works that look good, like gold to us, may in God's eyes be hay, wood, or stubble. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says this, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. God's going to bring it to light. So I think the first thing you need in this right plan, gold, silver, precious stone, is the right motives. Why you do, why you sing, why you do what you do at church, why you serve, why you come up here and do this. If it's to be recognized with man, from man, and it's to get praise, and so everybody knows that you're godly and you're doing what you're doing, you've got that. That's a wonderful work, but I'm afraid it went from gold, silver, precious stone to hay, wood, and stubble. And you'll see why that's so important. So you have to have the right motives. But number two, I think we have to build with the right conduct. The right conduct. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The judgment seat of Christ, for we must all appear. We, those with a foundation, which is Jesus Christ, all born again believers, will and must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, not your sins, your good works, according to whether, and you'll find out then whether they be good or bad, whether they be lasting gold, silver, precious stone, or they be hay, wood, and stubble. You'll find out then. God's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. But number one, it's based upon motives. But number two, it's based upon conduct. Conduct, living a life that honors Christ is gold, silver, precious stone. A Christ-honoring life glorifies the Lord. But a life that is lived for self, it becomes a waste of time and opportunity to make his life count for Christ. We have the wrong conduct. It becomes, even good works become hay, wood, and stubble. Let me say it like this. Your righteousness should exceed your salvation, your words. Well, Pastor, I'm born again. Good. Does your works exceed that fact that you're born again? Because when you go to the bar and when you go this and you watch this and you go here and go there, those aren't things that exceed the fact that you're salvation. Here's where I think Christianity misses the boat today. I'm almost through. Stay with me in our conduct. I think Christ has expectations for born-again believers right here. I think Christians are right here, and I believe the world's down here. Now, that doesn't, I'm not trying to, it's just in God's eyes. The Christians are special to God. They're children of God. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to be a Christian. It's a privilege to be born again, to be a part of the family of God. To be a Christian is, I think it puts you up here. But the world is down here because they don't know Christ. But here's what we do in our Christian life for conduct. We think if we live just a little bit above the world, we're living a Christian life. If we just live a little bit above the world, And we're a little bit more spiritual than the world is. We're a little bit more godly. I mean, church isn't a major part of my life, but I go once in a while. That's better than the unsaved does. I read my Bible. I mean, one eye closed, one eye open. I at least ask God to thank him for his food at lunchtime. We think this is where it's at, that as long as I'm better than the world, but that's not what God says. God isn't going to base you on whether you're better than the world. God's going to base you on whether you're better than what the Christian is supposed to be. Does that make sense to you? This is where the judgment comes. This is where the gold, silver, and precious stone comes. Down here, it's hay, wood, and stubble. Up here, it's gold, silver, precious stone, and it's going to be based upon your conduct. That's why some of you who go to work, you work, and you know the people know that you're probably a Christian, or they assume you're a Christian. Maybe you've never told them, but they assume you are because they know you're a little bit different. You're a little different in the world. You don't tell all the dirty jokes, but you'll listen to them, but you don't tell all the dirty jokes. You, cussing and swearing doesn't come out of your mouth. You're above. And I appreciate that. But can I be honest with you? I think that's hay, wood, and stubble. But it's when I live the Christian life and God is just the first and foremost thing in my life. That's where the gold, silver, and precious stone comes in. But I think so many people are down here. Oh, they're above the world. They live above the world. And you think you're building up great rewards in heaven, but I want to caution you. I think that's hay, wood, and stubble. And you'll see what happens to hay, wood, and stubble next week. But here, when Christ becomes the reality of your life. Now again, I because I mentioned him yesterday and I thought a lot about him. There was a man in this church that influenced me greater probably than any other person. That was Chet Scott. It just seemed like he lived up here all the time. He didn't get angry. He didn't get upset. He just lived up here. I never found him down here. He was always here in his walk with God and his love for the Lord Jesus Christ and his testimony to those he ministered to and those he taught. You know, Brother Jim had a guy that, how long ago was it? How many years ago did he have Chet as his teacher? He was 70. He had Chet as a teacher, and he said, he was a good, good man. I'm not meaning to build up a man, but he's the example that God's given me in my life that I don't want to live here. I want to live here. That's where the gold, silver, so your rewards one day, it's going to be based upon your motives, why you do what you do. It's very important. Number two, it's going to be based upon your conduct. But three, really, let me give you this and I'm done. It's going to be based upon your service. And what I think trying to say there that you can remember, it's the way you use the spiritual gifts that God's given to you. Some of you get tired that I'm always promoting and talking about the spiritual gifts, but I think at the judgment seat of Christ, I think that's part of your rewards. The gold, silvers, and precious stone is going to become as how you've used your gift that God has given you. Not talents, not abilities, but the gifts that God has given you. And each one of you, if you're born again, the moment you got saved, you have a gift. There's many in this room that would say, Pastor, I don't even know what my gift is. Let me tell you something. If you don't know what your gifts are, you stand before Jesus Christ, it's probably going to be hay, wood, and stubble. Because God has given each one of you a gift, and some of you have more than one gift. And we're going to stand before God, and we're going to be judged according to how we've plugged in the gifts that God. If God's given you the gift of giving, then you need to give with a heart of love and a passion. If you have the gift of showing mercy, then you're the one that needs to be showing mercy like no other person. If you have the gift of servant, you need to be serving. If you have the gift of teaching, you need to be teaching. Whatever the gift God has given to you, the gift of prophecy to be a little more confrontation, and the gift of evangelism to be out witnessing more and having that desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in a greater passion way. I don't know what your gift is. But I think when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to judge you on how you applied the gift that he's given you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be mean here. But I think there's a whole boatload of Christians in Christianity today that says, boy, whew, I'm building up my gifts in heaven. I'm getting my rewards in heaven. And when God's going to have to not bring a wheelbarrow in, he's going to bring a truck in. Because, man, I'm doing a work for him. I'm just telling you, I think there's going to be some shocking people. Oh, they're not going to be shocked because they're there. They're in heaven. They're going to, Christianity, he said, you're going to be saved, yet so as by fire. You don't have to worry about eternal life and hell and eternal damnation. That's taken care of under the blood of Jesus Christ. But I think at the judgment seat of Christ, when Christ brings the test of fire, the gold, silver, and precious stone is going to be purified, but the hay, wood, and stubble is going to be burned away, become ashes. Well, still good works. Jesus Christ is pleased. You'll have something to give back to him. But what builds the church, what builds what God wants to accomplish is gold, silver, precious stone. And I'm trying to influence you to, number one, you've got to have the right motives. Number two, you've got to have the right conduct. Number three, you've got to have the right service. Oh, there's many good things you can do. But I think you need to apply the gifts that God has given to you and use it for his glory. The gold is good godliness and goodness and generosity and grace and guidance of God. The silver is selflessness and saintlessness and steadfastness in the servant's heart. The precious stones are prayer and purity and persistence. They'll be with you for all eternity. It's the gold, silver, and precious stone that builds the church. But it's the hay, wood, and stubble. Those are still good things. I'm not opposed to them. But they will not stand the test of time and eternity. This is what Paul's communicating to the Corinthian church. Not that you're just doing good works, but what's your motives? How's your conduct? How are you applying the gifts that I've given you to use for my glory? That's where the rubber meets the road, at the judgment seat of Christ. Something to think about. Something to chew on, because there may be even a Christian here that says, boy, I'm just gaining those rewards. No, rewards don't come for coming to church. Rewards don't come for reading your Bible, I believe. Rewards don't come for prayer. Those are things God's asked you to do. But it's when you go out of your way and you pray for somebody. And then you have a concern about them and you show them your passion and love, and you send them a note that you're praying for them. If they have a need, you try to meet that need because God has laid it on your heart. That's where the works come in. And if they're done with the right motive and the right conduct, and you're using the gifting that God has given to you, I'm telling you, it's going to be gold, silver, precious stone one day. But if not, it'll be hay, wood, and stubble. Really, the choice becomes yours. Motives, conduct, and service. The judgment seat of Christ. It motivated Paul. Paul lived the life he did, and he said, everything in this life is but a light affliction. And he went through and suffered more than anybody in this room has ever suffered. But he said, it's all light affliction because I know one day it'll be worth it all when I stand before Jesus Christ. Because I think more Paul could say, that's why he said, be a follower of me as I'll follow Christ. We'll hear that in a couple weeks. I think Paul had the right motives. I think Paul had the right conduct. And I think Paul plugged into the gifts that God gave them and used it for God's glory. He said, I look forward to it one day. I want to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It motivated Paul. It motivates me. It can motivate you. Right motives, the right conduct, and the right service. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the writing of the wise master builder, Paul. Everything he has comes from God through the Holy Spirit. So this wasn't Paul's plan. This was God's plan. This wasn't Paul's desire. This was God's desire. He just used Paul to lay the foundation. But God, help my people to have their foundation in Jesus Christ. Help them to be born again. But number two, help them to build with good works, the right materials. Help them to live for you and do those things that are good and acceptable in the will of God. We were created as God's workmen, created for good works in Christ Jesus. But Lord, give us the right plan, the right motives, the right conduct. And Lord, give us the right service. That one day when we stand before you, we may hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Thank you for the principles from Paul, the principles he gave to the Corinthian church that are very moldable for us in our lives. Use it for your honor and your glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to give an invitation. This is an individual thing.